healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is the notion that most of us really want to reach optimum health, optimum wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, enjoy life more. And that's what we're aiming to give you on Healthy Alternatives, those kinds of options for yourself. Now, every week when I begin the show, I like to talk about an issue or concern you should know about because it can really have an impact on you. What I want to talk about this week is obesity and type 2 non-insulin dependent diabetes patients who are given insulin. Now, way back in the 1920s, insulin began to be used as a medical therapy for people with type 1 insulin dependent diabetes. Those are people who've lost the ability to produce insulin naturally. And for those patients, it was a lifesaver. Different story with type 2 diabetes. Turns out that insulin actually makes matters worse. And you may go, huh? Isn't that what you're supposed to be taking if you've got type 2 diabetes? Well, according to Dr. Julian Whitaker, that's not what you should be doing. Turns out, in folks with type 2 diabetes, the pancreas is already working overtime. They're producing 2 to 3 times the amount of insulin that's normally needed. In effect, the problem is that their cells are resistant to the signals insulin is sending out. When you add more insulin into the mix by injection, what you're doing is causing additional weight gain, which makes their blood sugar virtually impossible to control. One guy who is being given insulin injections for type 2 diabetes wound up putting on 170 pounds. Now, when there is weight gain, what tends to happen, according to Dr. Whitaker, is that the physicians will say to them, you're not staying on your diet, you're being lazy, you're not exercising, and blame it on the patient, as opposed to looking at the insulin as the cause. There was actually a 1972 landmark study published demonstrating that insulin provided no benefit in type 2 diabetes, but it caused significant weight gain, and that oral diabetes drugs dramatically also increased complication rates. There's a Dr. John Davidson who, back at that point, he was running Emory University and Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, and he treated 18,000 diabetic patients with intensive lifestyle changes and a hospital-based fasting protocol for those who are seriously obese. He did not use diabetes drugs or insulin. Whitaker has had people come into his offices carrying up to 100 pounds of insulin-induced excess weight and watched it literally melt from their body when it was replaced with a program to control both their weight and their blood sugar. If you've got type 2 diabetes, the last thing you should be looking at doing is taking drugs and insulin. You need to be doing lifestyle changes. That's the way to protect yourself and turn what you have into something you can really control. Today, my guest is author of 7 books. Her most recent one is Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. Interesting hearing the word love in relationship to the workplace. This book's a number one bestseller on the New York Times list, the Wall Street Journal list, Business Week, and Amazon. We're going to be talking about creating happiness, fun, joy, excitement in the workplace. You're not going to want to miss this one. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. If you'd like to sign up for a monthly e-zine that I do, you can go to teplitz.com, click on the About button, and then free email newsletter, and we'd be glad to send that to you. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy alternative, and this one is something that you can do for yourself so that you, in effect, are moving to a new healthy direction. This one is kind of mixed. It's kind of an issue area, but it's also something you should know from just a healthy standpoint for yourself. This was a study done in Israel where they looked at when did judges last eat and how do they rule in cases. Well, they found if first thing in the morning, if the judge had breakfast and right after lunch, the researchers looked at 1,112 rulings that these judges did, and this was presiding over boards deciding whether to grant parole to prisoners. Here's the interesting thing. At the beginning of the court session in the morning, about 65% of the rulings tend to be in favor of the prisoner. Later on in the morning, the rulings declined to near zero by the end of that session. After lunch, favorable rulings jumped back up to 65% and then began to decline again. And the pattern held true for each of the eight judges that were observed over a 50-day period. What the researchers were saying is when people are making lots of decisions in a row, they look for ways to simplify the process when they get mentally tired. The easiest thing to do to maintain the status quo was leave the prisoner in jail. So how can this apply to your life? Well, the notion of having snacks or eating small meals throughout the day can actually become a healthy alternative to keep your brain functioning so that you are actually making wise decisions. Before I bring my guest on, I'd like to pause for this message. I want to let you know that on June the 10th, I'm going to be conducting my Switched On Selling and Switched On Network Marketing seminars in Norfolk, Virginia. These are brain rewiring approaches to selling and network marketing. They're both conducted same time, same place, same day. Also on June the 14th and 15th in Virginia Beach, Virginia, I'm going to be doing my Switched On Management seminar. For those who are interested in what I'm teaching, you can also become a certified instructor of Switched On Selling, Network Marketing, and Management. For those dates, they'll be June 10th through 12th, Norfolk, Virginia for Selling and Network Marketing, and June 13, 14, and 15 for Switched On Management, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hope you decide to learn more about it. You can go to teplitz.com and find out more or give us a call at 800-77 and then the word relax. My guest today is Roxanne Emmerich. Roxanne is the author of 7 books, and her latest is Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. It's been a New York Times bestseller, Wall Street Journal bestseller, Business Week, and Amazon number one bestseller. Roxanne is CEO of the Emmerich Group, where for the last 21 years, the company has helped hundreds of companies do what she calls the magic double. Double their service scores in 42 days, double their sales growth in a month, and double their profits in 90 days. She's a 3-time Entrepreneur of the Year. She served on Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson's group to advise on reinventing state government. She's in demand by CNN, NPR, CBS, and she's also listed in Sales and Marketing Magazine as being one of the top 12 most requested speakers in the country. So, Roxanne, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
I'm just thrilled to be here. Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome. I'm delighted to have you here. And for transparency, Roxanne and I do work together. She has me come in to do work for her clients. So I
I wanted to talk to her about that because what she does while it's in the business arena, it has a healthy alternative for you folks. So your book, Thank God It's Monday, Roxanne. Why is it important? First of all, we're all familiar, thank God it's Friday, but nobody ever thinks of thank God it's Monday. It's like usually, oh my God, it's Monday. So why is it why is it important somebody have that kind of an attitude?
Well, the problem is very few people are saying thank God it's Monday and really feeling grateful for their work. And if you look at the statistics, we're at a 22-year low in terms of employee satisfaction, and 71% of people who are the Gen Ys are actively looking for new work who actually have jobs, and 55% of the population right now is either unemployed or underemployed. And so there's a tremendous amount of stress in the workplace that was only compounded by recent layoffs over the last couple of years because people are left with twice the work and half the friends. And so people have to find healthier ways at work to decide to have the joy, to keep themselves sane, to make it fun, celebratory, and most importantly, to protect their energy from those who are the Debbie Downers who are taking away their energy.
The Debbie Downers. Is there a guy version? Is there a guy version of that?
We'll have to go back to Saturday Night Live probably to ask them to do a male version of that. But I'm sure there probably is.
There probably are. So,
in fact, I think I worked with him one time.
You talk about operating off of agreements for people that happen in the workplace, whether they're conscious or unconscious. And what do you mean by that?
Well, people have agreements, and some are healthy agreements, and some are very unhealthy agreements. And so, for instance, a lot of the companies, when we start to work with them, their agreements, even though they're not written out, but the way that they're operating include things like, hey, if I don't get a result, I'll give an excuse instead. That should be okay. Or another agreement might be, if I'm mad at Jerry, I'm going to go talk to Tom and Sue and Patty about Jerry, but never talk to Jerry because he might get mad. And so doing those passive-aggressive things that create all kinds of disruption. Gossiping is an agreement where people are saying that must be okay. And I believe strongly that gossip is the worst form of workplace violence that exists. Nobody feels safe when that exists. And so right now people have these unhealthy agreements. And so what we teach them to do is not only create healthy agreements, but then how to call each other tight to make sure that everyone in the organization has the power to call everybody else tight on making sure that they're living by those agreements as well.
See, there's an interesting thing in the research out there on looking at optimists versus pessimists. And with what you're talking about, Roxanne, there's the pessimistic side where you're saying, God damn, it's Monday, instead of thank God it's Monday. And so they actually have research showing optimists have 3 times less hypertension than pessimists, that optimists have 50% less cardiovascular disease than a pessimist. And even if they had to go in for bypass surgery, an optimist is 50% less likely to have to go back in again. So what you're talking about in terms of workplace, and because we spend so much time in the workplace, we're really talking about something that's affecting people's health in the long term as well. Would you agree with that?
Do I ever agree with that? And you know, what's interesting about that, Jerry, is that people choose their attitude. And so, you know, part of what we're getting across to people with the Thank God It's Monday approach is, listen, if you're thinking that you're going to find the perfect place to work where everyone will cater to your every need, only say good things to you at every moment, that little utopia does not exist. But the reality
except if you're the CEO and nobody wants to
Well, prove. I don't know about that. I talk to CEOs every day, all day long. I beg to differ on that one.
Okay.
You know, and so, you know, we've all done the same thing, Jerry. We've all, on our first day of work, had our shoes shine and our shirts pressed up, and we told our mamas we were going to set the world on fire. And then what happens is we come into the workplace still enthusiastic the first day, still enthusiastic by the second day. But by the second week, something happens. We discover we work with a bunch of dweebs, a bunch of people who have issues and problems, and they're not working through things, and they're irritants and irritable, and they're all shooting wildly toward mediocrity. And so we lower our sights, and 18 years go by. And so what we do with the Thank God It's Monday process is we get companies to bring everybody back to that first day of work feeling of, when we decide to be powerful, when we decide to be good to each other, when we decide to forgive each other our shortcomings, but hold each other to a higher standard, wouldn't that be something in terms of the results it would create? And I can't tell you how many times, Jerry, that people line up after we get done doing this session crying and saying things like, I've worked here for 18 years and I can't, and I've hated every day of it, and I can't wait to go to work tomorrow. And that's what happens when somebody realizes that they have a choice. And when you're talking about optimists, what you're really saying, Jerry, is there are people who choose to be good at work, choose to be good for the people around them, choose to be amazing for the customers, choose to, when something goes wrong, go, and then that happened, and then get over it and move on to the next thing, as opposed to ruminating about that. And that's always a choice. And so what a healthy thing it is to understand that it's a choice.
Now, with a CEO who you, in effect, have to convince to buy into all of this stuff, where you're saying happiness is a factor in your bottom line, and the CEO is saying, are you crazy? It's not a factor. It's called productivity is the factor. How would you answer them?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things. One is that payroll is, for most companies, the number one expense. If it's not, it's usually number two. And if you look at Gallup's research on what disengaged employees cost an average organization that has average disengagement, what they've discovered is that with average disengagement, we lose one out of every three payroll dollars. It's outrageously expensive. It's the difference between survival and not survival, profit and loss, in a very powerful, meaningful way. And so, of course, it's a bottom line issue. And that's just if it's average. Now, if you have a company that has really bad, huge numbers of disengaged employees, you know, the average right now is 67% are disengaged and 17% are actively disengaged. And that's an interesting stat, too, because these are the people who you'd be better off to not even have on property.
So they're the ones who are
exactly.
Doing sabotage.
Mm-hmm. There's absolutely sabotaging and they're hurtful. They make it an unsafe work environment for other people as well. And that is a health issue. It goes back again to, are you creating a safe work environment for your employees?
Now, there's an interesting thing on CEO manager research that's out there that was published not too long ago. It was a study done in Stockholm, Sweden over 10 years where they had 3,000 men, all in good health. Average age was 42. They all rated their bosses on 10 behavior measurements, such as my boss gives me the information I need. And they found over the 10-year period, 74 of these men had a heart attack or a cardiac event. When they started looking closer at the stats, they found the boss with the lower leadership score, meaning they were not giving them the information they need, moved the worker's risk higher. And the longer they worked for that same boss, the risk went up even higher. So managers, in effect, it appears, are really affecting people's health in ways that they may never have been aware of.
That's true. And every one of us has probably at some time or another had that boss from hell. Now, what I tell people who have that boss from hell is, listen, you have two choices. You can go out of the frying pan into the fire, which means that you leave this boss and you may not get something as good as what you've got, and that's a real life possibility. Or perhaps it could get better by moving, but why not, first of all, do everything within your power to educate your leader by demonstrating some incredible leadership potential yourself? In other words, hey, Joe, when you do this, it creates this mess for me, and it lowers my productivity, and I know you want me to have the highest productivity. Can I request from now on that we interact this way instead? Great.
So you're talking, Roxanne, about really somebody taking the bulls by the horn, so to speak, and confronting their boss and saying, what you're doing is affecting me in this way.
Exactly, because so many people in the work environment, in fact, I just talked to a CEO yesterday who said, listen, I'm in the Midwest and passive aggressive behavior is everywhere. He'd read an article I'd written about the five things that really kill organizations. And he said, boy, we have every one of those five. And when I read the part about Minnesota Nice, being in Minnesota here, it occurs to me that, that's exactly what's going on. And because I came from Canada, I see this behavior, he says, and anybody who came from outside of this area sees this behavior. But what happens is when people don't agree with something, they talk to everybody else about it, but they don't go to that person because they might get mad, which, of course, is a nutty behavior. But until somebody sees it as not the healthiest choice, they don't change that behavior.
So I'm not going to get mad now, but I am going to take a break. So I'd like to remind listeners that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Roxanne Emmerich, in just a moment and pick up the conversation again with her on this fascinating subject of, thank God, it's Monday.
Improve your golf game today. It's absolutely possible using the DVD Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf from stress management coach Dr. Jerry Teplitz. Par and Beyond is a revolutionary new concept that yields immediate results. You'll experience the difference the very next time you play. Even the golf pros love this method. Randy Taylor hadn't placed in a tournament for 8 years, but just 1 week after taking this seminar, he came in second. It's not just in your swing, it's in your head. That's why T&I Golf Magazine calls Dr. Teplitz a headmaster. Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf is available on DVD. You can get it by clicking on the Par and Beyond cover on the WebTalkRadio.net screen in front of you. You'll learn new, powerful techniques that will instantly improve your game, whether you're a pro or a duffer. This is your new secret to success on the course. It's a totally different approach, and it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. And don't tell your golf buddies. You're about to become a winner.
So my guest today is Roxanne Emmerich. Roxanne is author of 7 books, and we've been talking about her latest book, Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. It's been a New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and Amazon number one bestseller. She's CEO of the Emmerich Group. She works directly with hundreds of companies to double their service scores, double sales growth, double profits. And one of her key focus is really creating a happiness environment to actually create a bottom line effectiveness for a company. And so, Roxanne, one of the things with all the popularity of vampire movies that are out there now, you talk about energy vampires. So it's an interesting slant on that. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Well, the energy vampire is that person, Jerry, that when you walk into the office on Monday morning and you're all excited to be there because you've rejuvenated or restored yourself over the weekend by getting some downtime, and you've allowed yourself to think of all the possibilities of things you wanted to create back at the office, and you come in with that enthusiasm, simply by walking by that person, they can suck you dry because they just have their ways, whether it's eye rolling or the things they say or the whining or the passive aggressive. They just have their ways of sucking the energy out of everyone around them. And it's amazing. You probably remember, Jerry, that I'm a farm girl from Wisconsin, and so I have a little saying about this, and that is that a little bit of horse manure and a keg of wine is a big problem.
By the way, I'm not from the Midwest, so I'm going to have to go Google that.
Yeah. I think you'll get the point pretty quickly
okay.
on that one.
Okay.
So, what's interesting is that, you know, we've all had bad days, and we've all been that energy vampire, but some people set up camp there. And they decide to make that their way of being. And they really are hurtful and destructive. And, you know, and the work that you do, Jerry, that I love so much, you actually physically can prove to people how that one person having that negative thought impacts the energy of people around them. And so it's not just something of you know, words that, you know, it's not just something that we can say. It is scientifically proven that through their actions, through their words, they are impacting the health of the people around them, and they must
they don't
be
even
stopped.
Have to have, as you said, they don't have to have an action; just their energy itself is
that's
zapping.
That's right.
By the way, and the other example would be if when I do programs, I'll ask people how many of you have ever worked on somebody who is negative all day long, and how do you feel at the end of that day? And people in the audience will shout out negative, drained, exhausted, versus when they worked around somebody else who's very positive all day, they'll say they felt energized. Mm-hmm. And so that's very real because they're going home either exhausted and drained because somebody else was such an energy vampire in the term you're using, Roxanne, versus going home feeling great.
Well, you'll love this. I mean, most of my work is all across the country, but there was a client here in Minnesota that I worked with years ago that had won the Outstanding Business of the Year award for the entire state. And one of the things I learned from this couple who managed the company was when, before they hired somebody, they did a group interview. And at the end of the interview, the first question that was asked of everyone in that group was, did that person give you energy or pull energy away? Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, that's perfect. So give us an example. You got this energy drainer that works next to you, the vampire. How do you get him to, quote unquote, stop sucking?
Okay. Well, for one thing is to have everyone that you work around understand that at every moment, you are either breathing life into life or you are sucking life out of life. And so that people have a common language for that. And so that when, so you can therefore say to somebody, I know you're having a bad day. And when you're doing those things, I have to tell you, it's impacting me negatively and I can feel my energy draining. Can I make a request of you to do blah differently? Great. I'm going to ask you to commit to that. And so to hit that as directly as you possibly can, as opposed to pretending like it's all okay. And if we click our heels, we'll end up in Kansas because that doesn't work too well.
So in effect, when you go into a company to do this on a company-wide basis, you're really validating that this norm is okay to go up to people who are draining you and say, excuse me, can we talk about this? Which mm-hmm. I think is absolutely fabulous because it really allows folks then to have the freedom that it's okay to do that versus having to jump over a wall kind of a thing to get somebody to listen who doesn't really want to listen.
Absolutely. It's about healthy communication patterns. And, you know, listen, Jerry, one of the things that I learned early in life, I started off as a commercial lender out of college. And so, I came into the banking industry and realized that people not only had pinstripes on their clothing, they had them on their eyeballs and on their hearts. This was a very emotionally constipated group on average. And I discovered that, you know, I thought maybe there was a memo that was passed around that said, listen, if you, the memo should have said something like, check your personality at the door. It was obvious people were not fully showing up and knowing how to have fun at work. But what occurred to me was, as I was calling on my prospects and customers, I would tell my boss that I never even had to look at the financials. I could always predict the financial outcomes that these organizations were getting, whether their profits were growing, whether they were growing, based upon listening to their conversation for 3 minutes, because conversation is the precursor to results. And so you have the victim types, you have the we'll conquer anything types, you have the I can give an excuse that'll be just as good as having a result type. You have the bring it on, let's have fun and celebrate the direction that we're going. You have the people who are all about purpose and making a huge difference in the success of their customers. And what I found was when you change the language of an organization, you change the outcome. And now I know that you know, Jerry, that we've had clients that hadn't grown more than 2% a year that grow 35% in the next 30 days. We've had a lot of banks that were in trouble with the FDIC, the number one or number two performer in their states. It's not a miracle. It's a system about getting people to change the way they think and act and talk. And by doing that, radical shifts in performance for the individuals and the companies come behind it.
So we're talking about the side of work where people are working. There's a side nowadays where people ain't working. They're laid off. And they're having mm-hmm. difficulty with that whole situation. And how, from your standpoint, can you apply, thank God it's Monday, to somebody who doesn't have a Monday to go to?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that, Jerry, because, you know, it's heartbreaking to hear the stats. I was at a Harry Dent conference not too long ago and learned that if the government was currently measuring unemployment the way we did back in the 70s, we currently have the same level of unemployment that we had during the Great Depression. So this is a real and significant problem. We're just measuring things differently. So a lot of people out there in that situation, and what I tell people is, listen, go get a job. Go be invincible, be unstoppable. Let people know you'll start in the mailroom. And then prove yourself and move yourself up. And, you know, nothing makes me happier as a CEO of a company than when I hire someone and they have that fire in their belly and a passion to be extraordinary, and they're willing to do whatever it takes and move up, because I can't move those people up fast enough. I just can't find enough opportunities for them. I just want them to be able to have all those opportunities. And there are way too many people right now who haven't read probably Marshall Goldsmith's book, where he talks about how that job isn't there anymore. That job simply isn't there anymore. And so if you're holding out for the same job that you had, that job doesn't exist at that same pay scale. So, but that doesn't mean you're done making that pay for the rest of your life. It just means you've got to get in somewhere and you've got to be good and you've got to add value and you have to show personal leadership, and it's all doable and it's all a hoot. And you, more than anybody else, have to make the choice to be happy and choose joy and be willing to step up and make the miracle happen.
Now, you make an interesting claim, Roxanne, that in one day, it's possible to turn around the attitude and results of a company. Since I work with Roxanne, I know it's true, but for most folks, they would say, huh, one day, how do you do it, Roxanne?
It's pretty unbelievable. Well, I kind of fell into this system about 21 years ago when I started this particular company. I had a client who had a challenge, and he asked me if I could come in and work with him. And when I went in and worked with him the very next day, he called and he said, listen, I'm giddy. He said, this is the CEO of a bank, actually. He says, my customers have been lined up outside my office all day long saying, what just happened here? These employees are like on fire. They're having fun. They're making a bigger difference. They're asking me better questions. This is so exciting. And we've had so many organizations now who, by following this kick butt kickoff process that we explain in the Thank God It's Monday book, just by putting in that process in one day, the very next day, the whole town is talking about the huge transformation and everybody's walking in to see it. And so we've had so many companies that have gone from rags to riches, but we've had a lot of companies that were already in the top 5% when we started working with them that have dramatically increased their results. Even though they were really great to begin with, they've opened to a whole different possibility. And the key is making different agreements about what's possible so that they have a vision that lights them up and that everyone there was a part of creating that vision. So it's not something that's pushed down from above. Number two, that they make agreements about how they're going to treat their customers and wow them and make a difference to make those customers successful as opposed to just satisfied. And number three, that they make agreements about how they'll treat each other. Because if that part isn't done, everything comes falling apart. And along with that agreement, they have to know how to enforce that and know that the frontline person gets to call the CEO on their stuff starting tomorrow in productive ways. And we teach them how to become healthy dissidents, people who get to complain all they want, but in a good, healthy way that doesn't suck anybody dry.
So if somebody wanted to get your book, Thank God It's Monday, how can they go about that, Roxanne?
Well, I would recommend that they go to the thankgoditsmoney.com site because on that site they can get a whole bunch of free prizes and such as well by going up there. And also they can sign up for the free audio that comes out every Monday morning along with the free message because there are work teams all around the world right now who never miss pulling together and learning from that particular message. And I would also recommend that they buy the book in bulk so that a team of people can together read it, apply it together, and get the ball rolling so it's not just one person pushing the water up the hill.
So that's thankgoditsmonday.com?
Thankgoditsmonday.com.
Great. And if anybody's interested in having you speak, where would they go?
They can go to RoxanneEmmerich.com. They can go to thankgoditsmonday.com. They can Google my name. They'll find me. Two M's and ends with an H.
Great. Roxanne, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives today.
It has been my honor, Jerry. Thank you so much.
My guest next week will be Marilyn Smith. She's the only professional home economist and food writer that was also a member of Second City Comedy Troupe. She's written the book Ultimate Foods for Ultimate Health and Don't Forget the Chocolate. Yummy. That book won gold at the Cuisine Canada Cookbooks Award, the first healthy cookbook to win that award. And her latest book is Health Starts Here. You're going to be learning some fascinating things from Marilyn. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.